My name is Enzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Big Cass, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that.
Shane O'Mac is on top of Hell in a Cell.
Don't, Shane, don't do it.
You can't do this. Shane.
Shane. No.
No. No.
Wow, Pop, thanks for putting that intro together. That's was quite a range of emotions and moments there, which is good because that's what today's show is going to be all about, considering we had a weekend full of wrestling action. We've got a three-man booth today, thankfully. We've got the most beautiful man in the professional wrestling podcast world, Connor Dorian, in here.
Good to be back again.
And, of course, the man who does our intros, Dario Pop Passarelli.
You know, I always feel like second fiddle when I hear that introduction. But anyways, go on, because, you know, I really love you too.
How about the oldest man in professional wrestling podcast?
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, so and we just went from the second to like the third.
Right? And I am your host, Big Al Alexander K. Lee. Guys, so much wrestling over the weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and including I'm throwing in Monday. Almost like a wrestling long weekend, as it were, a wrestling holiday weekend. There was was it Mayhem in Midland on Friday?
Mania.
Midland Mania. That's vaguely litigious. Mania in Midland.
No, Midland Mania.
Midland Mania. That's even more more liable there. And then we have...
I'm sure WWE felt threatened.
Of course, the WWE took over Dallas, Texas for takeover, NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania and a show in their Monday Night Raw show, which was at the, I believe, where the Mavericks play. I could be wrong, though. I know they used all these different venues for all their shows. So,
and I think the following Wednesday, NXT show was there, which was, if anybody saw it last night, was not really worth watching.
But anyway. Oh, I heard it was like a clip show, somewhat of a clip show.
It was, there was one match, Apollo Crews there.
Right.
There was only one match last night?
Apollo Crews against the Drifter. That was it.
Everyone's favorite.
So, really? So now I just look at the look on your face, and yeah, that pretty much said it all. The one time, I think it's the first thing that NXT has done that was done poorly, but anyways.
Just before we get into the meat of this episode, I don't know anything about, you know, I haven't kept up with NXT as much as you guys have. So Elias Samson, he's the Drifter. What is that gimmick? I picture, for some reason, I think the Drifter and I think like Kenny Rogers the Gambler, and I don't know why. And I like, does he have a bindle? Does he come up with a bindle? And
no, he comes up with an acoustic guitar.
And what is he? Does he sing?
He's attempted to.
Yeah, he's attempted to sing. He reminds me of like one of the guys that would go like to like hippie camps for a night and like play guitar and sit by a campfire. That's basically what
I mean, rather than the Drifter, I think another probably appropriate name they could have had was something like Elias, I haven't taken a shower in a week, Samson.
He looks, so he looks super dirty.
I thought that was Luke Harper's nickname.
I think
like a month. He doesn't clean the shirt.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think he has that kind of a gimmick, a hobo, a vagrant, moseys around and beats people up for the fun of it.
What is the ceiling for this gimmick? I mean, is this a money-making gimmick? I have not, again.
No.
Okay, interesting. We'll talk about more. We'll talk more NXT stuff eventually, I'm sure. But we're going to try and have somewhat of a structure to this episode, fellas.
I laugh in the face of structure.
We remarked a few days ago, you guys reminded me, we've tried before. It usually breaks down. But you're right. As the host, it's my responsibility to try and keep these things together. So we're going to go. We're going to look at best matches, best moments, worst moments. Most surprising moments, most disappointing moments. We'll try to anyway. It'll probably bounce around, but you know, let's keep this on track as much as we can. So first, start off on a positive. Let's talk about some of the best matches. I'm gonna go to Connor first. Let's say Connor, what did you think was the best match of the weekend?
Best match of the weekend. Definitely nothing at Mania. I know you guys probably agree with me with that. It's up between two matches. Monday Night Raw, the Fatal 4-Way to end it, was a terrific match. But I'm gonna go with Nakamura versus Sami Zayn at NXT TakeOver on Friday night. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, in terms of actual matches themselves and the wrestling that went on within it, I would have to agree with Sami Zayn and Shinsuke. It was a very, very well put together match, especially, you know, if people aren't familiar with a strong style, as I wasn't. And they told a great story. Altogether, the physicality within it, without, I don't know how to say this properly, but they put on a good match without having to regress to like high spots, which you know, I enjoy high spots, but sometimes that's all there is in a match. And no, they didn't. They actually wrestled very well together.
Yeah, there's only a couple high spots. I remember the one when Sami Zayn was jumping through the turnbuckle post and Shinsuke kicked him in the face.
Kicked him in the face, right. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can really think of.
Right. And normally Sami Zayn does that and he turns that into a DDT, yeah, which he did to Kevin Owens in the Fatal Four-Way, I believe.
No,
it was in the ladder match. In the ladder match.
Oh, they did like a very... Yeah, that was crazy.
And that's what normally Sami Zayn does. He turns this, he dives through the corner ropes and then does the DDT, but Nakamura apparently did his research.
I don't know about you, Alex, but like you follow the independent scene more than Pop and I do.
Sort of. I'm definitely not.
I honestly had no idea who Nakamura was.
Oh, believe me, I'm not that familiar with that either. My brother, you know, my brother's a huge Japanese fan, so he's always keeping me updated and that sort of thing. I'd almost forgotten. I'd actually had the good fortune of seeing Nakamura many years ago. He had to remind me that we'd seen him, and his character was somewhat similar. And I remember him catching my eye back then, but not thinking that he would one day become a WWE superstar or one of the biggest stars in Japan and then become a WWE superstar. I had no idea. I mean, I thought he was cool. But so then to see him again and see that his character's developed even further, wow, that match to me, like that to me was wrestling. Like you said, not reliant on high spots at all. Physicality was definitely the name of the game.
Forearms for like a minute and a half straight or whatever that was.
Right, and how incredible is that? That's the most basic move that anyone can do. But the way when you build up to it and when you do it a certain way and when you sell it with your body language, it's as good as any elaborate submission move or flippy move. It's awesome.
You know what it reminded me of? And this is way off base. But it reminded me of Family Guy. And then it keeps going on, and then you laugh even louder, and you laugh even more because of the build. I mean, that's what those forearm smashes kind of gave me that same sense, because it kept going, and okay, it's got to stop. it kept going, and then you kept losing yourself more and more into it. It was great.
And there's an amazing moment during that sequence as well where Nakamura had been like busted open by a kick or something. His nose was bleeding a little bit. And during the forearms exchange, he like kind of leans back and makes sure the camera and everyone gets a good shot of his bleeding face. Mm-hmm. It was so well done and so subtle. You're captured. You're captured by that moment. And again, I cannot say enough about this match. Definitely, I agree. You know, and we're going to talk about some other good matches, but I think we all agree, and I think most fans would agree who saw everything that weekend, that that was really tough to beat. I mean, when that happened, it was sensational. And Nakamura's, just his whole body language when he entered, so engaging. You know, you just want to know more about this guy. What is this guy's deal?
Such a different character. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen much like him before. It was good to see.
No, it was like one of those things where, unfortunately, I couldn't watch NXT Friday night because I was in Midland watching Mania. And I had such a tight schedule. Yes, that does include 3 hockey games from my sons and practices and et cetera, et cetera, and 2 dentist appointments. So what I wanted to do was, and fast forward to the part so I can just get it, so be prepared for today, because, you know, I am that kind of podcaster. I want to be prepared. You know how good I am. And I wanted to like fast forward through bits, but I could not fast forward through that entrance or through that match. Because, like you said, I just kept wanting to find out more, and I was afraid, I was seriously afraid that I would miss something if I fast-forwarded.
When I was watching that in my basement on Friday night, my dad was yelling at me from upstairs, yelling at me to come upstairs and see something during the middle of that match, and I just, no, no, no. I just responded to him, no, I'm not leaving.
That's that's the power, right? That's the power of great performances from both Zayn and Nakamura. It's funny, you know, this whole strong style thing, the way they're selling it is as, you know, the sort of the using a lot of strikes and just generally being, you know, really tough and physical, as we keep saying. But to me, I've always had strong style to me has always had a bit of a negative stigma, at least for me, because it usually means a lot of, you see it on the indie scene in America too, a lot of 50 finishers, a lot of kickouts. Like the Cena Owen series was a little bit of a variation of strong style where they hit each other with 9 million finishers, kicked out of everything. And to me, I'm not a fan of that. I don't love it. But definitely whatever Nakamura and Zayn did, they found that balance between WWE style and Japanese style and independent style and incorporated all of it into a very, like, I think, very logical, reasonable story. There were no moments where I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's BS. I don't buy that. I found it all very, you know, believable within the reality of that professional wrestling. So.
And there's already some guys in the business that, like in the WWE, that are strong style. Mm-hmm. They just don't recognize it as that.
Like Daniel Bryan, we could have said.
Like
sure.
Daniel Bryan. Yep. I think right. Cesaro would be classified as kind of strong style. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens.
Welcome back, Cesaro.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So definitely, I think the second best match of the week, of that long weekend, was that Fatal 4-Way. On paper, it looked amazing. It absolutely delivered. Cesaro's comeback, yep. We'll talk about that later, I think was one of the best moments of the weekend as well. His tearaway suit was awesome. Someone online had a really good suggestion. There was a tweet or something. I should have written down who said it. But they should have a team of guys with like strings attached to the suit. And then like when he comes on the stage, he'll just like flex and the people will tear the suit off of him, like a fly off. Like it might look ridiculous, but I think it would be really cool. But yeah, let's talk about that match a little, guys. Go ahead. Feel free to gush.
He's one of the best wrestlers. I think the three best wrestlers in the company right now are in that match. Excluding YGJ, he still did the moves, but I don't think he's still one of the best.
Yeah, I wouldn't
in the
say he's one. No, I agree. Yeah.
But I think AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Cesaro are the three best in the business.
Mm, of the healthy guys, yeah.
Yeah. Who else would you throw in there? Just...
Cena, well, you know what?
Rollins, if he was healthy,
Rollins, I would
obviously.
Put in
there. And that's a.
And yeah, I wouldn't put Cena in there. The best wrestlers. Best oh.
Not right now.
Characters, probably.
And also not right now. And that's nothing against Cena. I think that just speaks to the level that Owens, Cesaro, Styles, mm-hmm. Rollins are at right now. I mean, Cena's always going to be a great big match guy. But as far as guys who are going to bring it like every mm-hmm. week and have to bring it every week because, yeah. you know, they're lower on the totem pole and they have to, you know, he's just not there anymore. And I totally understand.
If it was Zayn instead of Y2J, I think it would have been the four best.
That's right as well.
What I was alluding to is with Sami Zayn is if you look at anybody who, I don't want to say profited the most, but who probably benefited the most out of this weekend. I mean, Sami Zayn had a spectacular match Friday night. A very good, I don't know about superbly fantastic ladder match because it wasn't
match.
Really
match,
but yeah, a good ladder match. He did what he had to do. And then, you know, his entrance on Monday, I think he's going to move up there very quickly. I think it was a great weekend for him.
And think about that. He didn't win a single one of those matches. Nope. And yet he definitely emerged, as you said, as one of the five biggest guys from this weekend. Benefiting
getting over
the most.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's a testament to his talent. And also credit to either NXT or maybe people in WWE creative. You know, I rarely give them credit, but whoever was responsible for these decisions, I think they're handling the Sami Zayn character really well. So, you know, kudos. As much as I criticize, let's also say, you know, when they do a good job. So, and by the way, apparently his injury, you know, it looked like he suffered an elbow injury. That was, apparently he's okay. I don't know if the injury either was not legit or whether it did happen and they just like exaggerated it. Because it looked like Cesaro's return was planned all along.
Oh, yeah, I think it
was right?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So thankfully, from what I'm hearing, just that Sami Zayn is fine and is not injured again. So can come back to business.
Yeah, it's obviously setting up a KO Zayn feud.
Which does not need the title, so I'm glad that it went from Zack Ryder and then The Miz. But we'll talk about
Zack Ryder on SmackDown.
We'll move on from best match, but I will give some credit to a couple of Mania matches. I thought Jericho Styles was very good, and the women's triple threat was very good.
Well, I think before you even start talking about matches there, I think you have to look at the whole feel towards Mania. Alex, we had the pleasure of watching it together. Unfortunately, Connor, you couldn't attend, and I think that might have hindered how you felt about it.
Connor was not happy
having to watch it all alone.
Yeah, based on his text,
poor Connor.
We'll post the screenshots of the texts on the.
but
he was
not
happy.
Yeah.
But since I'm working here with two young punks and I'll be the man of this podcast, none of us here obviously saw anything that was happening at Mania because we got, 9 out of 10 wrong in our predictions?
Yeah, it was unpredictable.
And so I'm saying, the whole feel of Mania was like, what? What? And I don't know if that was done intentionally, but you got the feeling that as each match came about, you really had no idea what the heck was going to happen. And I think from a Mania perspective, that was a good thing.
The other thing we'll say is my expectations for the show were fairly low. So maybe that's why I was more like, oh, anytime just something bad like didn't happen, I was like, oh, that was good. It definitely, again, like you said, it was unpredictable, which is good, but, you know, sometimes
it was too unpredictable.
Sometimes things just should make sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, we'll get to some of our disappointments later, but again, I want to focus on the positive still. So the triple threat I thought was very good. Most of the consensus on the interwebs seems to be that it was the match of the night.
The women's,
the triple threat.
I enjoyed it very much.
For me, it's a bit of a tie with that in the Jericho Styles match. The Jericho Styles match I really liked because they had to follow up the ladder match. And any time you follow up a ladder match, the crowd's kind of burnt out. And it did start off slow. You can see sort of the first 4 or 5 minutes, the crowd's not like into it. But it's good. They, you know, Styles and Jericho have wrestled everywhere in the world. They've wrestled thousands of matches between the two of them. They know how to get a crowd built back up. And by the end, the crowd was totally into it. They were buying all the false finishes. Again, you know, no matter what you think of the ending, it was, I thought it was a really, really good match. I don't know if it was the best of their series, but it was good. You know, it's been another good match in what's been a good series.
See, when I watched it on Sunday, there was only two matches that I actually enjoyed. Rewatching it, I enjoyed the Divas match more than I did on Sunday, but the ladder match I thought was good.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just high spots, right?
Like, yeah.
You can't really say that's bad when it's just all high spots. And I thought the Jericho AJ Styles was the best match of the night. I still think it is. It was the only singles match of the night without any gimmicks, without any titles. It was just the only straight singles match. And I liked it. It was simple.
Yes, I agree with both of you in terms of both of those matches. And no disappointment in terms of what the women brought up. And, you know, Becky Lynch is sporting quite the nice shiner now because of it.
Oh, yeah.
Does that look bad or a whole while? But, you know, I take a look in that Shane Mack and Undertaker match. It wasn't the most brutal Hell in a Cell match that we've ever seen. It wasn't the best wrestling match that we've ever seen. But compared to all of the other ones, that one had my attention the most. With the bolt cutters getting rammed through. Did he really hit his head on this? No, okay, it was just as bad. It was little things that kept going through. And then, my lord, the 20-foot drop. I mean, there's so many things about that moment that had me on the edge of the seat, more from a dramatic perspective than it did from a wrestling or athletic perspective. But I still think it was definitely worth noting.
That's a good segue for me, Pop, because that was my worst match of the weekend. I thought that match was a frigging atrocity. I thought the whole, you know, I hated the storyline going into it, so it already had an uphill climb. I thought the whole thing was ridiculous. I thought it made no sense. I mean, I popped, I guess, as much as anybody when he fell. But even then, I think you saw me there. I was like, actually, you were there. You saw, I was just kind of like, I don't know.
You didn't want, you, for the longest time, weren't sure whether that was how you felt about that that jump. And I understand
it
so, because nobody should take that kind of risk. We enjoy watching our wrestling, but we certainly feel that nobody deserves to take a risk that was that huge.
Unless it was Dean Ambrose. I would have been down for that.
But looking at it, you know, we're going on the assumption that, you know, the desk did have some padding. Not
it definitely
that
it, did, yeah.
Not that it would.
There's an airbag underneath.
It looked like an air. You could see the table like slowly fall.
Right.
Yeah, which is a good thing. Yeah.
The whole thing about it was there's still risk involved.
Oh, the storyline just made no sense. Connor, what do you think of the match?
I enjoyed the match just because of the gimmick of the match. Everyone wanted to see Shane win. Everyone wants to see him control Raw, which he ended up doing on Monday night, which made no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
But the match itself was, it wasn't good wrestling. There are two guys that, like Undertaker used to be a good wrestler. I think he's passed way past his prime. Shane was never a great wrestler. He just had all these high spots.
Yeah, and he knew how to, he could be carried by good wrestlers. You know, he wrestled with Angle. His match with Angle was awesome. But obviously, Angle's an amazing wrestler. Right?
Yeah. So it wasn't my, I don't think it was my least favorite match of the weekend, but it wasn't great. I didn't enjoy it that much.
Oh, like I said, I enjoyed it just for the theatrics of it. You know, even the simple little, you know, bring it on gestures. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh, he kicked out of a last ride. He kicked out of getting a choke slam on steel steps. He had a terror. He got out of the Hell's Gate. He got out of the Hell's Gate. Like
out of one match that, you know, suspend reality for a second.
You can only suspend it so far.
Oh, give me a break.
Here's what I compare it to. Imagine if you're watching, say, a Wolverine movie. And then it's like, oh, Wolverine's trapped in this like lava pit. How's he going to get out? And then Wolverine just flies out. You'd be like, what? Like I've suspended my disbelief to the point of like, oh, there's a guy who's a mutant and he has claws and he can heal all his wounds. But then you still have to maintain some sort of internal logic. Like there was no internal logic to this match. It was insane. It was.
Here's a shout out to the two oldest people that wrestled. Yeah, from the old guy in the podcast. We're still connected.
I give them all the credit in the world for their effort. Again, they had a terrible storyline to work with. And like we said, we knew it was going to be a stunt-filled match, but there was the action in the ring was just preposterous. The less said about it, the better. Another match, which I'm not going to say it's the worst, but I want to ask you guys how you felt about it. You know, this was once we hit the four-hour mark of the show, I think all of us, I'm sure, were burnt out. It's definitely not the worst match, but how did we feel about the main event, Triple H Reigns?
I'm indifferent about it.
That's not good.
No, I didn't care about it really to begin with. I was hoping Triple H would win because I just don't like Ambrose or don't like Reigns. I don't like Ambrose either, but.
You sheep.
But everyone who doesn't like Reigns, sheep. Why do you say that? Everyone has very good reasons for not liking Reigns.
They've got no reason whatsoever.
That's so untrue.
Yeah. Well, they got reasons, but they're not his fault, so you shouldn't be yelling at him.
That's
my point. We've had this discussion many times.
Not in the show, though.
Yeah, you're all sheep anyways.
I don't dislike him because he was pushed down our throats. I dislike him because I don't like his character, and I don't think he's a great wrestler.
There you go. So is he sheep now, or is he...
Oh, definitely still a sheep. Because he doesn't think he's a great wrestler because everybody else keeps telling him that
he didn't say that. He just said he didn't. Or are you a corporate sheep because you're just following what the WWE is feeding you?
You're slipping me a few bucks under the
car. You know what? I respect that. I respect that. Here's the terrible thing about the match. Okay, the whole time I was watching, I was telling myself to ignore whatever the crowd weirdness and to just focus. Like, I had to focus really hard on the match. Like, really focus hard to evaluate it, you know, without considering other factors. And I think when you have to focus that hard to try and like something, that's probably not a sign of a good wrestling match.
I think one, I take this back to discussion that we had in the absence of Connor, you know, throughout the whole night, you just kept saying, man, you can't stand this WrestleMania, you can't stand this WrestleMania. And I kept saying that wrestling is such a unique sport where we as fans actually like to write the stories that go with it. And we like to predict in terms of what's going to happen. And since none of us predicted anything that was going to happen, then when Triple H came out, not in his Batman theme, like we so desperately wanted, darn it, it just ruined the whole match for the rest of us.
What was it? Was it Mad Max?
It was Mad Max / Game of Thrones, sort of. She had like a throne behind her, I think. More Mad Max.
It wasn't a bad entrance at all.
No, it was cool.
It was a cool entrance. It wasn't the Batman one that we had hoped for, but it was a cool entrance, and... then it just went downhill from
there. Stephanie
was
the best part of that whole match.
Her speech was insane.
Yes.
And obviously, yeah, the thing that got the biggest reaction for by far was the taking the spear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what a heck of a spear that was, too. Wow. That was an impact.
Did not hold back.
Kudos.
Yeah, nobody held back there. Again, there's no way you can say it was a terrible match, but it was...
It wasn't a great match.
And let's keep in mind, again, at that point, I think
yes,
we were over
say,
4 hours.
No, you can say it was a terrible match. And the reason why you can say it was a terrible match, if this was a mid-card or opening show match, it would have been fine. But this is a main event match. And not only a main event match, but a main event at WrestleMania, it needed to be a lot better. So yes, you can say it's a terrible match because of where it was situated.
Why... couldn't have Reigns and Triple H fought at Roblox and have the Roblox match at WrestleMania. It would have made... I know we wouldn't be able to see the match.
Wow, after hating the guy, he's really on this Ambrose push, isn't
he? It was
a
good match.
It was a great match.
It was a great match.
Much better.
My match of the year before Zayn Nakamura now is my match of the year so far. They put themselves in a difficult position just from the show being so long. I mean, just before that, there was like a 25-minute segment with The Rock or something. Well, again, we'll get to that. And they stuck to their plan. You could see they said, look, we have a plan for this match. We're going to wrestle the match that we can wrestle. We're not going to try and do anything crazy just to wake the crowd up after 4 hours or 6 hours for many of the people who had been there live or yourself. Pop, I know you'd watched the pre-show. I think, Connor, you'd watched a lot of
pre-show. I watched most of it.
You guys were well over the 4.5 hour, probably closer to 5 hours.
We were drunk with wrestling, yes.
Yeah, drunk with wrestling.
Not just wrestling, with beer, too.
I was going to say that online.
You know... I don't know. I don't know whether to say Triple H and Reigns should have taken that into account and wrestled a different kind of match as opposed to the usual like Triple H match, which, again, I thought was going to be good. And I still think the match was good, but I'm with Connor. Emotionally, I was not into it.
Yeah, I was checked out. Not just because of the length. I was just checked out of that storyline altogether.
Let's bounce back to the positives. Again, you know what? But I'm happy to say...
Hold on. When did we leave the positive? It just always keeps drifting negative. We start off on a positive and it drifts negative.
I think we're six five on positives and negatives this episode. Informal count. I will say it's a good thing that when I was looking at sort of worst match candidates over the weekend, I couldn't think of that many like terrible matches, like worst matches.
No, we're not counting pre-show. We're not counting like.
Oh, we would count it. Yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah, was the. Go ahead. I didn't see it.
The Usos Dudley Boys was awful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was bad.
The Monday match wasn't that much better either.
No.
And
I fast forward the Monday match.
Did you see you didn't see the messed up finish? So it's been pretty established in table matches that you had to put someone through a table to win.
It wasn't a missed match. It was a missed call, wasn't it?
By the referee
and the announcer. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Usos miss a double splashes and go through the tables, and then. The referee clearly signals for the bell, And then you see Bubba go like no, no, it's not over. Devon. And then he tells Devon to pick up one of the Usos, throws him to a table. So it's all good. I think Bubba played it off really well. He was like, now we won. Now we won the match. So he's such a good heel, such a pro. And then did a good job with the follow-up to that segment, which was the Realist guys, Enzo and Cass coming out. So let's move on to best moments. That was certainly one of them, the debut of the Realist guys in the room on Monday. Can we agree on that? I don't want to say the best, one of the best. Yeah.
Well, one of the best moments or one of the best surprises? What are we talking about here?
Oh, I guess they're kind of related.
Because the best would have been Nakamura.
His debut, yeah. The match itself. But let's, you know.
I think you have to expand it. I think you have to expand. When you look at what was the best thing about this weekend was we're getting the change that we always wanted.
But are we? I feel like we say this after every Mania.
Again, it looks like it.
Look at when the fatal four-way on Monday. I think we're getting the
Who's in the fatal four? That was the main event match. Who won the Andre the Giant tournament?
Mr. Corbin.
Yeah. Who else?
NXT guy. We predicted that.
NXT guy. You did.
Who else, you know, came in and joined Cass? I mean, Sami Zayn's making more of a name for himself. There seems to be again, because we don't know where any of this is going, a switch that is happening here, and that there is this breadth of talent coming up. Even in NXT, there's new talent coming in there that's moving up. Asuka winning the belt and so on and so forth. So it looks like there is this change that's coming. Apollo Crews was on
Monday
Night
Raw. Debut, yes.
Right? So again, there's like all these names that we know about and wrestle and they're moving up. Now, do they get associated with Shane McMahon for doing this? I don't know. Like, is he going to stick around because of it? But this was one of the first Raws in a long time that I really, really enjoyed. Now, usually the Raw after Mania.
I was going to say, you might say the Raw since last Mania.
I mean, you've seen usually the Raw after Mania is usually one of the better ones. But again, not for this reason, not for these reasons that were happening.
I was very confused about the Apollo Crews coming into Raw. He's a great wrestler, but he's not. I'm saying he's not ready yet.
He still has to prove himself in NXT.
Yeah, he hasn't really proven himself yet.
It seems like NXT is designed specifically for guys like him, right? To be there for like another year. It did seem too early. Especially, I keep saying he's very similar to Neville. I know he's probably a little bit bigger, but even physique-wise, they're both very muscular, sort of shorter guys. I think Neville's maybe a little bit shorter than him.
Apollo's a lot bigger.
Yeah, I was about to say, I get
he's
the impression
huge.
Like Apollo's twice
height-wise,
the size.
He's not that much bigger. Height-wise, he's like a little bit taller.
Yeah, maybe not height-wise, but he's
definitely hold on
more
a second.
Built than
he looked,
Neville.
He looked big against Tyler Breeze. He did. Not a hard thing to do, mind you.
Their shtick is very similar. I think you can agree their wrestling style is very similar.
Well, maybe how long is Neville out?
Could be for a while.
And
I'd love to see them
feud. That might be the reason he's in there replacing
it. Would you consider Apollo Crews a cruiserweight?
A cruise?
You just wanted to say that.
Weight?
What?
A cruiserweight?
Apollo Crews.
An Apollo cruiserweight?
Oh, there it is.
Woo! I think he will
Alex's
be.
Term.
You would consider him a cruiserweight?
That's
I
Alex's
guess.
Term of reining him in.
Dude, what is a cruiserweight now?
Under 220.
Apollo Crews would be a much more.
I don't know what that means.
He'd be easier to see as a WWE champion than Neville will.
I'm going to play the pessimist here for a second.
A second.
As thrilling as all those debuts were. So, you know, my boy Paulo was going like, oh, that Enzo, he's so good. And he's been a fan of Enzo in NXT. And he's like, man, that guy's amazing. His mic skills are so good. And he was getting so hyped up. And I'm like, I'm glad. We should, like, popular. We should be excited. But I worry so much about how they're going to handle these guys just based on how they've handled other NXT guys they brought up. I mean, Tyler Breeze debuted a few months ago beating Dolph Ziggler, and now he's the job boy for the next NXT guy. So, you know, what kind of cycle is that? And it also, the hype around Enzo reminded me a little bit of the hype around Bray Wyatt. When Bray Wyatt first came out, we were like, man, this guy's mic skills are amazing. He's going to be a huge star. And I think he's doing well, but I think we can all agree he's not exactly been utilized in the best way. And
he's not there yet.
And I worry for Enzo that after this initial excitement, they're just going to not know what to do with him.
I think you look too far into the future and enjoy the moment. It will get taken away from you, don't get me wrong. So if you know ahead of time that it will be getting taken away from you, then maybe you should.
I'll admit I'm being overly cautious for sure. There's no question about that. But yeah, that was one of the best moments. Anything like we said, Nakamura's debut, I think I have that listed here as number one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get, so let's give, if those are the two NXT related ones, let's give some credit. We said Cesaro's return. We mentioned that as part of, that's another great moment.
One of my big moments was?
Please.
AJ Styles winning.
Yeah. I was going to put that as a surprise.
As a surprise?
Yeah. Maybe they're connected. Maybe these two categories should be connected. So go ahead.
I don't think it was a surprise more than anyone else in that match.
I was disappointed.
Why?
Not disappointed.
You want KO?
Yeah. But then, and I thought KO deserved
it. I knew it wasn't going to be KO because he's going to have a few with Zayn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right.
And I was wondering then, again, not that we put any stock into this anymore, but AJ Styles is a face. I'm just wondering if that changes Reigns in any way.
There's no face or heels anymore.
Well, here's the thing, and I think WWE is going to have to run with this. Take these beloved indie, or however you want to describe them, hard worker guys, and keep throwing them at Reigns, and let the crowd kill Reigns. Let them do it. Let the live crowds kill Reigns. And at the same time, he'll also be putting on amazing matches with like Styles, Jericho, Zayn and Owens in the future, Cesaro. Fans are not going to embrace him anyway, so let him wrestle these fan favorite guys, these cult, more, you know, cult guys, these non-Vince McMahon guys, and just see what happens. Because either way, at least you're going to get great matches out of it. And you might have, you know, this subtle Roman Reigns heel turn, and just let it happen. Just let it happen. So, well, I think it's good.
And maybe you turn Reigns more into a character somewhat like The Miz, who's very good at putting other people over, not necessarily himself. And that's what Reigns can do for all this new talent that comes up.
I think it's the opposite. I think they're going to help him get over just by being in good matches with him. And again, I don't know if fans are ever going to embrace him, because just get ready to hear this phrase for the next like 3 months. Oh, Reigns got carried by da-da-da-da-da, which I think is unfair, because I'm with you, Pop. I think Reigns is a good wrestler. Now, is he, and like anybody, will be better when he's paired up with a more experienced, you know, of course. That's anybody. Cena, I could say.
Look at Cena.
Yeah, he's a great wrestler, but time. Some of his best matches were with like Shawn Michaels, Daniel Bryan, and
Kevin Owens.
So it takes, of course,
Cesaro.
Cesaro.
I mean,
it takes two to tango. CM Punk. I almost forgot CM Punk. It takes two to tango. So I hope Reigns gets his credit. You know, if he puts on a series of good matches with all these guys, I hope he gets some credit too, because he's had some good matches.
He deserves it.
And again, he'll get better. Iron sharpens iron, right? But Connor, I agree with you that the AJ moment was really nice. It's AJ Styles. He's been with the company for a few months. He's never had a run with WWE until now, and he's the number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, AJ Styles.
That's kind of got me off a little bit.
Again, too soon,
because
you think?
Because it was too soon, and that's why I thought somebody like a Cesaro or Kevin Owens, you know, anybody but Jericho. Pretty much in that match, but I thought that maybe Cesaro or Kevin Owens kind of has earned that spot.
Their time's coming.
Yeah, I'm with Connor. I think the time is going to come, but Cesaro would have been a logical guy to do it, and they could have pulled the trigger that night with the pop from his return. So they could have done that.
There was definitely a bigger pop for Cesaro's entrance than AJ winning.
Sure. Yeah. I think there was a little bit of surprise in the crowd when AJ won. I think the crowd was, they cheered, but they're also like, whoa, did
I remember. They cut to an audience member, and it was just like probably a 30-year-old guy. He's just mouthing like, "What the heck?" Right? He was so confused. And those are like the biggest marks. Go to those shows. Right?
They were continuing the whole, you know, WWE was continuing the whole, let's just mess with their minds.
So it's definitely a great moment and a great surprise as well.
I have
go ahead.
One other great moment, and that was part of our Midland Mania match. We got to see Connor and I, KC Spinelli, go up against Rosemary, a.k.a. Courtney Rush, we've known for a long time. And they put on one of the best matches of the night, for sure. But I've never, ever seen KC Spinelli work as a heel before. And she just did a fantastic job right from the get-go, getting the entire crowd pumped up. I'm not sure if this was her hometown or not, or she knew people in the audience, but she wound up, as she's walking to the ring, she tried to grab, you know, two or three 10, 11-year-old girls to follow her up to the ring. One actually did, and she got the girl to get down on her knees and bow to her greatness, and then trying to get the 10-year-old to teach everybody else how to respect how well KC Spinelli is and bow down to her. And I thought that was just phenomenally well done. Mm-hmm. She really really put on a great show.
Did I ever tell you who the little girl was?
No.
It's Cody Deaner's daughter.
Oh.
That's who it was.
Who's the Canadian champion, I believe.
Yeah, Canadian heavyweight champion. But I was talking to Spinelli after, and I was asking her, like, I've never seen you play heel before. She's like, yeah, I do it once in a while. I was like, how often do you bring a kid up with you? She's like, oh, I've done it once or twice. So it's not like a...
It was new to me.
Yeah, it's I think it's pretty new to her. I think she's only done it a couple times, but...
It
was
worked.
Awesome.
It certainly worked very well. And like I said, and congratulations to Rosemary on TNA. She did a fantastic job, as always.
I have another surprise of the weekend.
Please.
Stone Cold. Three stunners. I didn't think he was able to do a stunner anymore.
Were you worried that he would bruise his coccyx?
Every time he did it, I was like, oh, please don't break your neck.
How about that Rusev cell on that stunner? That was phenomenal.
Beautiful. Just the Rusev cell or the Xavier Woods cell? That
Rusev,
was fantastic.
Rusev's one was better. Rusev almost like threw himself out of the ring.
Oh, yeah. I liked Rusev's.
Yeah, Rusev Rusev did it. Xavier also did an amazing job. But Rusev, keep doing your thing, Rusev. We see you.
And Xavier did a nice job on Monday night explaining that he did deserve it.
Yeah, it's like, just playing it. I have a little laugh about it. Let's go to, and this might be part of that, some of the worst moments. Let's go back to complaining because that's always fun. I know.
Did we stop?
This I don't think was the worst moment, but I know a lot of people had a problem with New Day losing and sort of both groups, both them and the League, getting outshone by the returning legends. It's something we've come to accept at WrestleMania, that they're going to trot out these legends. It does feel a bit of a shame, though, that they seem to do this every year, and it's contributes to why their current stars like might never reach that level, because they never present them as being on that level.
See, I didn't have a problem with that. I think New Day won't lose any steam from losing a match against League of Nations. I don't think it'll push League of Nations as much as they wanted it to, I don't think. But
hopefully it'll push them out the door.
Yeah, well, they already pushed one out the door. But I don't agree with you with that. I don't know. What about you, Pop?
For me, I think it's one of those, everybody wants to see, I'm not going to say the old-timers, the legends come out, hit their one spot, and walk out. I don't think it changes any storylines. I don't think it impacts anything else. It's just like, you know what? The crowds enjoy, especially live crowds, enjoy watching, you know, them come out. We on TV certainly do. Hit their one spot and leave. Now, talking about bad moments, the whole League of Nations is one thing. And then what happened on Monday night with the Wyatts, whatever's happening on with the Wyatts, like, straighten up, because they deserve a much, much better fate than what's happening to them right now.
But I like that moment. Yeah, I saw you mention, I think you mentioned on Twitter you didn't like, I thought it was a really good moment for the Wyatts to turn, to at least try to turn face or whatever this is going to be.
But after what happened, now, you know,
yeah, let's talk about that.
Bring on the legends is one thing, right? But having the Wyatts come out to The Rock and then John Cena and then get upstage and then come back the next, I just don't know what's happening with them, and not that necessarily I should, but after the year that the Wyatts have had, I expected much better things. Because remember last year around this time, Wyatt just lost to The Undertaker, and then they went on that spree where they took out The Undertaker, they took out Kane, and they were becoming this big, huge force. You know, change the O to an A, and to me, they look like a big farce right now.
Yeah, the Mania thing was, that had a lot of people mad, for sure. You know, having them essentially just being fed for the two, Cena and Rock, for the sake of a Cena-Rock segment. But one part of that whole segment that really stood up for me was Rock, when that brief moment where he's like, you have all the charisma, and you have all the, and the crowd really reacted to that. So I know overall it looked bad for the Wyatts. I mean, he beat Eric Rowan in 6 seconds. It's usually never good.
That was the worst match.
That was probably the worst match of the weekend. Yeah, I had that on the list there. But he did, honestly, I really felt like he did do something for Bray Wyatt there. I know it was brief, and I know it was lost. That was like 2 minutes of dialogue in a 25-minute segment, or however long that was.
Well, you spent 10 minutes just lighting up his name.
Yeah. Yeah, the flamethrower. And that's a situation where I feel like, honestly, being in a segment with The Rock helped him. I know they all ended up flat on their back. But so tying it back to the League of Nations thing. So imagine like how many people, the only show they watch, like casual fans, is WrestleMania once a year. You know what I mean? That's what I think is troubling for people, is that they see these guys, they see the guys they know, Rock and Shawn Michaels and Austin and Foley, you know, going over these guys who maybe they don't know as well. So to us, we say, of course, New Day isn't going to lose anything. Or, you know, the League never had anything. But we know these guys because we follow them every week. But to casual viewers who only see these guys a little bit, they seem like not a big deal. And that's bad. Like, that's the problem. It's not us. They have us. They have our attention. They know we're smart. But,
right. How is the Wyatt supposed to fare in a main event match if you have them losing to somebody who doesn't wrestle anymore
in 6 seconds? And Pop, by the way, you're absolutely right about the Wyatts, though. Like I said, I like the face turn, but you're right, they're like a ping pong ball. I mean, they were supposed to have a feud with Brock Lesnar, it never went anywhere because I guess Bray got hurt, but still never went anywhere. And then they almost didn't appear on Mania, except for then that Rock segment. They showed up. They weren't booked to appear on Mania. And then, yeah, you're right. Now they seem to be going to a feud with the League of Nations. So this is a case where I'm going to put on my optimist hat, and I think it's going to be good because people hate the League, and people definitely, I think, like the Wyatts.
Just look at their entrance.
Yeah.
Look at their entrance, and right? You know, a heel is not supposed to be able to control a crowd like that.
Right.
And you, I mean, regardless, and it comes down to one word, they're cool.
Connor, you'll come around.
I've never liked them.
You'll come around. I like them, entrance. But the promos, obviously, at some point, it's just the teacher from the Peanuts at some point.
Here it comes.
Another bad moment on Monday, the women's...
Does that make Eva Marie, then, the redheaded girl that chews on her pencil?
She's not as endearing as that young lady.
Charlie Brown, man.
She's more of a...
differently.
Who would be Linus?
Which one's Linus? Linus is not the one with the... Linus, the you piano know, player.
Linus no, is the one Linus with is the security belt.
With the, oh, the security
which
blanket.
Which, to me, would be Seth yeah. Rollins.
Who's the...
right? You yeah. know, he's there.
Oh, I like that.
And he had his security guards.
J&J.
J&J. That's his security blanket.
Good call.
Yeah. I was thinking of a Schroeder, by the way. I'm sorry.
Schroeder's a piano player. Xavier.
Charlotte's... celebration ceremony.
You're not into this whole Peanuts wrestling.
I'm into
mixture.
It. I'm into it. I gotta move things along.
Let's just say, who beat Lucy?
Charlotte. Yeah, there we go. Oh. Thank you.
Okay, Bob. I'm off of it. I'm
no, now we're moving on to Lucy. Lucy's celebration ceremony was. It could have gone better. It could have gone better given the raucous crowd.
One of those moments where I actually thought they were gonna break kayfabe again, and I would have been okay with it then. Because it was worthy enough for them to break it.
How would you want them to break it?
By showing that the women's belt was as important as it is, by everybody being in together, not as their character, but as women wrestlers.
They kind of were, though. Weren't they kind of like there to...
Yeah.
Like, which is what I didn't like about it. That Sasha and Becky were just kind of sitting there, like, watching Charlotte get her belts. Like,
yeah, they were a little ticked, though. You can tell.
Yeah. They were, like, the crossed arms and, like, yeah. The, you know.
And Becky with her shiner.
Oh,
fantastic.
Man. I almost feel like, do you think they did a little makeup to enhance it? Oh, it
I think they're trying
so
to,
grisly.
I don't like, they're trying. I think they're trying to cover it up.
Were they? It looks so
And
nasty.
It looked worse. I got two things to say about that.
Please.
That belt, I think, is beautiful.
It's awesome.
It does.
I think it's the best belt in WWE.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know what, though, and I don't mean to say this in any kind of gender-bending roles, but wouldn't that white belt look really good around Seth Rollins?
Yep.
In his
white outfit.
Yeah. Sorry. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Second thing, I thought the 100% guarantee debut on Monday was Bayley.
Some people said that. Paulo said that as well. He also thought for sure
she
was
going to come out. She was going to come out at that point. Like, 100%, I thought she was going
to
come out.
To interrupt.
Yeah. But it didn't happen.
Or even just to attend, because, I mean, I think as much as anybody, she just has a right to be up there.
Yeah,
I wonder when they're going to pull the trigger on that, because obviously, you know, she's probably going to have a rematch with Asuka at some point. But, you know, Sasha Banks had a rematch with Bayley before she left while she was still sort of on the main roster at the same time. So they could have easily have done the same thing with Bayley. I'm just very scared for Bayley. I know it seems like she's a can't-miss thing, but I don't know what can't-miss means in the WWE anymore. Like, I just worry they'll mishandle her somehow and put her in ridiculous storylines that, like, she doesn't need. She doesn't need ridiculous storylines. She's like Sami Zayn. It's like, just put her in the most basic wrestling storyline. She will find a way to get herself over. Don't worry about it. But I just, again, you know, the way they book their females, it's troubling. Like, even the ceremony was an example. I'm sorry. Charlotte should not be asked to carry any segment on the mic. She cannot do it. And she did not know how to handle that live crowd.
Oh, yes.
As rude as they were, that crowd was being stupid. Don't get me wrong. But there's a way to handle it. She was lost.
No. She definitely needs help on the mic. That's for sure.
Yeah, she struggled.
I agree with it.
She didn't acknowledge them right away. That was a problem. She tried to just talk over them. And again, they're like children. You know, when a crowd like that is like children, you acknowledge
them. She was snarky, wasn't she?
But then she would switch back to
come
grateful.
On. Like, like... Oh, yeah, I know. You don't do that.
It's tough, and I felt bad for her because that's not one of her standout skills, and she shouldn't be put in that position to try and control. And they know how those crowds are. You know, they know how those crowds are. So I criticize, but I also have sympathy for Charlotte, and that segment for me was really awkward. Definitely one of the worst moments of the weekend.
Speaking of the crowd, I thought it was hilarious how the commentators like three or four times. They're going to boo who they usually cheer and cheer who they usually boo. They said that like five times. Like, yeah, they get it.
They should have put a disclaimer at the beginning of every commercial break just in text. Like, on tonight's episode. They were really like afraid.
Yeah. You know,
they really wanted to present things. And it's vaguely condescending, isn't it?
Yeah.
To both the people there and also the people watching at home. Yeah. Like, I don't know if that was the best way.
I think that was just another way to try to get Roman over. Like, oh, they're booing him, but people usually like him.
So this is could either be a best moment or worst moment, but I've seen most people respond to it positively, was Roman's opening statement of, I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy. And people seem to like it. I thought, I wasn't a fan of it. What do you guys think?
See, a lot with Roman stuff, I was indifferent.
and I agree. And for me, that's the problem with the statement is, yeah, he's the guy. No, he's the guy.
Yeah.
The thing with Roman is, and I was thinking about this, was he fails the test of, you know, that some people say a good way to define a deep, complex character is how long can you talk about them and describe them without describing what they look like? And Roman, you might get like three or four sentences in before at some point you go like, he looks cool. He's big and strong,
yep.
You know, and that's not good. You know, there's, again, someone like Bailey or even a Sami Zayn who's been on TV way less than him. There's so many characteristics I can explain about them without describing what they look like.
Skinny,
you know?
Seth Rogen.
That seat, you failed. There you go. See, you know what? I was wrong. Sami Zayn failed. He didn't pass the test.
Tyler Bitten and Jace.
But that segment overall was good, I thought. But I wasn't a fan of the line, I thought. And also his delivery, it was just so scripted, which is, I guess, everything with him is. But the segment overall was good.
Yeah, but no, I'm usually upset when fans boo. We've had discussion before with regards to Roman Reigns. You know, but the one question that I've never said is, you know, I don't think he should be champion either. Right? There's a lot more people in the company that I feel are deserving and can carry the company a lot better than Roman can. And, well, he's in the position he's in now, and we'll see how long he lasts at it.
Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, we're going to cover some more base here. There's so much to talk about. One of the most disappointing things that Ambrose Lesnar, the whole Ambrose Lesnar, let's just, I think the feud, I think we can say, has been disappointing.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Again,
well, is it disappointing because our expectations were so high, or was it just disappointing?
Definitely our expectations were probably too high, I think, on what we thought the match was going to be. That's why the story of this WrestleMania is, you know, you have to watch it without assuming things, right? You have to watch it based on what it is as opposed to what we want it to be. But at the same time, when you watch any form of entertainment, you know, you have expectations. And you know, the result is usually based on whether they're met or they're, you know, they go another way with it and surprise you. This was almost like it didn't satisfy anything. It wasn't surprising necessarily, but it wasn't satisfying. It was, you know.
My problem with it was, why did they have all these segments of Dean Ambrose getting all these weapons? He didn't use a single one. He didn't use that barbed wire bat. He brought it out, didn't hit anybody with it. Chainsaw, they could have used something. I know they obviously cut someone, but he could have done something with the chainsaw. Didn't even work. He tried to turn it on, didn't even work. The only thing they used is a kendo stick. And that's, I heard that was like one of the least painful things, is a kendo stick. And another thing, every single Brock Lesnar match, he seems to bleed. How did he not bleed in this match? Like, I'm not an advocate for blood in matches, but really, it's a street fight.
No, and even the low blow. I mean, what, we called that? Like, it was just
like a minute before
so
it happened.
Obvious that it was going to happen. And it wasn't even something that was anticipated. Like, even with Shane O'Mac climbing up to the top, we first noticed that something like that was up. And then, you know, we started saying, no, don't do it. But we were engaged in it. But with that match with Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar, yeah, it was disappointing.
He pretty much got his butt beat by Brock Lesnar for the last, I don't know, however long this feud's been going. Pretty much every segment has resulted in him taking a beating from Brock Lesnar. And then when he finally gets his chance to get him into a street fight, he just gets his butt beat again and loses clean.
Which, you know, again, I look at it and I go back to, we were hoping for a kind of moment in that Brock Lesnar match that there was in the Undertaker-Shane McMahon match.
Yeah.
When Undertaker just, you know, held Shane Mac in his hand for that brief second, saying, you know, incredible, but now I'm just going to pound you even more.
Yeah.
But we want that simple second of respect. If Brock Lesnar could have given Dean Ambrose that 1 second of respect, it would have made the whole match and that whole series worthwhile.
Yeah, that's what's so, again, even more unfortunate about that Undertaker match is clearly they couldn't do two matches telling that very similar story, so one match had to suffer, and it was the one with Ambrose and Lesnar. Very frustrating. I don't think it's going to hurt Ambrose too much, but chalk this up to yet another feud that Ambrose has lost. Except, you know, we thought he was going to lose it. We just thought he'd get a little more out of it. It could be another match at Extreme Rules, but where do you go from a street fight?
What does that make Mania? Mania should not be one step in the process. It should either be the beginning of or the end of.
But that's the way they've been using it. You know, as much as unfortunate it is, this is consistent with the last few. They have been using it as like a continuation of storylines as opposed to some feud enders, which is, again, makes no sense to me. It's almost like a build up to Extreme Rules. It's almost like Extreme Rules is the new WrestleMania or something.
Is that even the next?
I think Payback. It used to be back. Oh, so there is still Payback.
I think so.
I thought Payback became Extreme Rules.
No, like Payback was last year.
Whichever show comes up next. It's almost like WrestleMania is the build up to that.
Exactly.
Which seems backwards. But back to some nice things. Nice things, positive things. Some more surprises. You know, I'll gloss over them kind of quickly. Corbin's Battle Royal win, I thought was a cool surprise. Asuka winning, I was actually surprised, though again, maybe not some people were because they thought Bayley was going to make her debut on Monday. So I did not see that coming, but good for her. Styles winning number one contender, we went over that. Zack Ryder having his WrestleMania moment. I was surprised, I was happy for him, and I didn't even mind when he lost it the next night.
I don't know. If he's retiring, then fine. But if he's not, why? I don't know. I mean, I know he's a good company man, having his dad there and everything like that. I didn't get that much out of it.
I think it was just kind of one of those moments where they're like, hey, who can we put over in this match? They knew they weren't going to give it to Zayn or Owens. I think they were just kind of like figuratively just drawing a name out of the hat and saying this guy's going to win.
Yeah, and like we said, it primarily was to get the title away from Owens so Owens and Zayn can do their own thing. Sin Cara wasn't going to get it. I'm trying to remember who
Miz
else.
Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust wasn't going to get it. Ziggler. And then Miz and, Miz and, oh, Ziggler. I actually forgot Dolph Ziggler was in it. They're never going to give him anything. So, yeah, I guess it came down to Miz and Ryder, and maybe they're planning a little program with them. Also, clearly some sort of excuse to get Maryse back on TV. I heard she might be joining the Total Divas cast if the Bella Twins, I don't know if they're going to leave the cast.
No, I think they've signed a contract.
So they're just going to, even if they're not wrestling, they're just going to be.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, there's rumors Maryse might join that, which could be interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing her as an on-screen character again. I think, you know, as a valet for The Miz. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a big problem with it. But maybe
I'm okay with The Miz being on top.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Like,
yeah, he's been putting in some good work lately.
He has. Like we said, look, the one thing he does is everyone gets more over after working with him. And if Zack Ryder can get even more of a rub, which seems, like you said, kind of pointless because it's Zack Ryder, but maybe it'll help. I don't know. So I'll chalk that whole thing up as a positive. I think we've discussed most of the weekend shows. If you guys, I actually like it if you talk a little bit more about Midland Mania, specifically our friend of the show. I'll call her friend of the show, Rosemary. You got a chance to talk to her and see her. How's she doing?
She was doing fantastic. And like I said, the match that she put on, she came up and Rosemary with her meat cleaver kind of gimmick, if you want to call it that. And I'm still trying to get over the fact that a psychotic clown with a meat cleaver is considered a face. But it worked. It worked. Really had the crowd going. And I'm not sure what to think they expected out of women's wrestling. I think that's been a hot topic for myself, I know, recently. But it wasn't the first match of the show, which really got me upset. Last time I was in Big Trouble in Little Angus, they started off with the women's. And then, you know, kind of went downhill from there. This was in the second half of the show. It was the end of the first half, I think.
Yeah.
And
no, it's the second last match of the first half.
Second last match of the first half. Yeah. But like I said, did a great job. I had my son, JP, was there, my youngest. And he kept, at the beginning, on my shoulders. A long drive for the poor kid. It was like an hour and 20 minutes to get out there. And I looked at him and I just went, wow, he doesn't want to be here. Because he was tired, and he watched the first match, and I forgot who the first match was. And I looked at him.
Fat Elvis.
Oh, yeah, Fat Elvis. And I looked at him and said, you're not liking this, are you? And he goes, I said, compared to, like, Smash Wrestling, right? He goes, no. He goes, they over-exaggerate everything. And so I tried to explain to him that you know, it's almost like he's reading at a grade six level, and this is more like a grade two level because there's a lot more children in the audience. And there's a lot more people.
It was a charity show
for
not the Special Olympics.
I'm sure what, like, these shows happen maybe once a year, once every 2 years or something to that effect. So it's not like Smash Ray that has it once a month where you have knowledgeable fans.
It's a company. It's a traveling company.
But I mean, yeah. Like in...
They do it in Midland?
In Midland.
That's the first time I've seen wrestling in Midland.
And that's my point. Like,
so long.
It's one of those things where I think they go... This company goes around to places not very often. Like they just go to all the different places in Northern Ontario. So that the experience of the wrestling fan there isn't as great. So they play it down to, you know, back to the early 80s WWE, where you have your cartoonish characters.
I
mean, it's a different style. You just have to go in there knowing that and learn to appreciate it. And by the end of the night, JP was into it again.
So. And speaking of them traveling to different towns, they announced two different shows.
Yeah, wow.
One in Bracebridge with Hacksaw Jim Duggan's going to be there. And another one in Collingwood with Mick Foley.
Wow.
Sure the dates. We're going to have to post
May.
It on the description.
I think they're in May or something like that.
Yeah.
Hashtag support indie wrestling, eh?
Yeah.
Which, yeah. But like I said, I think there's... I look to it as akin to what Smash has right now in Oshawa with their Infinity product. And because I think I see a lot of similar names there that wrestle. And I think what Tyler Turvis was one of the wrestlers.
Tyler Turvis,
I think was his name.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Who put on a great match. I forgot who he was wrestling with. But he's part of the
Infinity
Body?
Test.
No, Jackson Jarvis fought against Scotty the Body. I've mentioned Jackson Jarvis on the show before. Probably my most favorite shtick out of them all. And obviously hailing from the mountaintops of masculinity, can't get over that. who put on a great show against Scotty the Body and got the evil cheating win.
I got a question for you, Dario.
Sure.
I basically went to the show to see my old buddy Travis Lepage. Right. It was his first match back after taking a couple years off. He's been reffing in this company. How do you think Travis did?
Travis fought against... I'm trying to think of who he fought against.
The Black Belt, the wrestling...
Oh, yes, the other half of the Piss Beaters.
Yeah.
For a small guy, yeah, Ryan's, just in terms of to visualize this, any of those familiar with wrestling... envision Spike Dudley.
Yeah.
In terms of height-wise.
I think he's a little bit bigger,
huskier, definitely. He's the kind of wrestler that is going to be taking a beating for most of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And he can take a bump so well. Obviously, the crowd was getting into it, having his wife and was his daughter there too? Or his son?
His son and his mom.
Oh, no, I thought his wife was there.
Who, Travis?
Yeah.
Yeah, his wife and his mom.
Right.
Yeah,
in the audience,
and his
there.
Two brothers, and
yeah, and put on a great show, taking the bump and getting the crowd going. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, he took a pile driver. His mom couldn't even watch; her head was in her hands.
Gentlemen, it sounds like it was an awesome show. I really got to get it to one of these. It was a great weekend of wrestling. I think WrestleMania weekend always delivers, even though WrestleMania itself was the lowest part of it. Probably
hashtag LacklusterMania.
Yeah, hashtag lackluster. But, you know, Pop and I were saying it's in the middle. It definitely wasn't the worst. It wasn't the best. It'd be right in that middle chunk of, you know, middle of if you're dividing manias into, you know, 10, 10, and 10. It's in that middle 10 somewhere.
Was it better than the Miz main eventing?
Oh, yeah. That Mania, not just that. Mania 27 was just not good. Depending how you feel about the second Taker Triple H match. Not the Hell in the Cell one. The one in between, like, it's a whole other discussion. But I'm not a fan of Mania 27. I really hated it. That was below this one, in my opinion. But... guys, we did a great job. We covered almost everything. We only left out the American Alpha title win, which was an awesome tag match, by the way. We should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of the best matches of the weekend. I would also put that over anything in Mania, for sure. And Asuka Bailey, we kind of touched upon it. Another good match. And even Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, sans the eye injury, you know, was really good. And I think they did their best to work around it. So
they worked well. They worked it well into the story,
as
should we say.
So other than that, guys, we covered everything. I think we nailed it. Woo! I think we were the highlight of WrestleMania weekend, or WrestleMania week now. So give yourself a Barry Horowitz pat in the back. Well done. Thank you. Pop just did a textbook Horowitz self-pat. And thank you everyone for listening, and I hope you all enjoyed WrestleMania, and let's look forward to all the good things that WWE will do for the rest of the year, fingers crossed, and of course support all your independent promotions. Signing off for Pop Passarelli and Connor Dorian, I'm Alexander K. Lee, aka Big Al. Take care of yourselves.